Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 6. 2 Chronicles, chapter 6. We'll read verses 5 through 10 together. We'll read this passage responsively. 2 Chronicles, chapter 6, verses 5 through 10. Second Chronicles chapter 6, verses 5 through 10. Since the day that I brought thee forth my people out of the land of Egypt, I chose no city among all the tribes of Israel to build an house in, that my name might be there. Neither chose I any man to be a ruler over my people Israel. But I have chosen Jerusalem, that my name might be there, and have chosen David to be over my people Israel. Now it was in the heart of David, my father, to build an house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. But the Lord said to David, my father, for much as it is written in thine heart to build an house for my name, thou didst well that it was mine heart. Notwithstanding, thou shalt not build the house for thy son, which shall come forth out of thy loins. He shall build the house for my name. The Lord therefore hath performed his word that he hath spoken. For I am risen up in the room of David my father, and am set on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised, and have built the house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much. You've chosen here in this city, in this area, to build a house for you. May we not take so much advantage of it that we forget. Lord, thank you that you brought a man of God to our house of God to preach the word of God to us. Father, please, may we pay attention today. Allow the Holy Spirit to do his work in our hearts. Speak through our preacher today, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
My desire as a pastor is to meet your needs. It's my goal to feed you spiritually. And that's what I want to do. Much like a good mother and a good wife picks healthy food to feed her family, I too want to feed our church family in a good way. I want to feed you a balanced diet of good spiritual food. I'm like a spiritual dietitian. And there are some churches where all they want is dessert. Well, you've got to have some meat every once in a while. Wednesday nights, we've been serving up meat. We've been talking for almost 40 weeks about the doctrines of the Bible. Well, I like bread, but listen, you just can't eat bread all the time as every part of the meal. We've got to get a balanced diet. We've got to meet the need of the body. This week, the spiritual nutritional needs have been so diverse, it's been difficult to cook the meal. Seemed like everybody needed a little something different. But today, I think the Lord will feed anyone who's hungry. If you're truly hungry for the things of God, I think you'll find inside this stew, I think you're going to find nutrition. Today, I want to feed the young Christians. Some of you that have only been saved a short time, I promise you, if you will take into your mouth the food that's given, chew it up and swallow it, it's going to give you strength. But then I want to feed the mature Christian, any Christian that's been saved any length of time, as you hear the topic of the morning, you'll know it is something that you need to continue to feast upon if you're going to be healthy as a Christian. I want to feed everyone. I want to feed the fallen. Somebody here today, this has been a terrible week for you. You've done wrong. You've not done right. I want to help you. But yet, those who have, to the best of their ability, served God, and you've been faithful to God this week, you've been successful, I too want to feed you. To the obedient Christian, I hope to feed you this morning. To the disobedient Christian, I hope that this sermon is palatable to your spiritual taste buds. To the adult, I will feed you today. To the youth, I will give you something worth eating. To the married couple, I want to help you. To the single person, yet we will feed you today. To the one that sits here and you're confused about your life, I will feed you today. For those of you that are living your life in an organized fashion and you're not suffering all the confusions that this life brings, I'll help you as well. Somebody here is backslidden. You're away from God. You're not what you ought to be, and you know it. You're away from God. I'll help you. But wait, to those that are not backslidden, you, for to the best of your knowledge, are doing what God would have you to do, I think I'll help you. To every parent here, if you'll just receive the meal, we'll feed you. To every child here, if you'll do what Brother Owens teaches you, I'll help you with your Christianity. To the husband, to the wife, to the backslidden, to the right with God, to the confused, to yet the organized, to the youth, to the adult, to the single, to the married, to the obedient, to the disobedient, to the young Christian and the old Christian, and to the mature and the immature in God's family. If we'll gather around the table, I will give you bread and a meal that will help you. Because there's no doubt in my mind, as I struggled to cook the meal, wondering how in the world I could meet the needs of nearly 1,000 people in one sermon. Because the needs were so diverse. How could it be done? And then it occurred to me, this was the way to do it. Listen carefully. The passage of Scripture that we read earlier is actually a sermon. 2 Chronicles chapter 6 is a sermon being preached by Solomon. Solomon is David's son. David, many years before, had wanted to build a temple. David was wanting to build this temple so he could put the Ark of the Covenant inside a beautiful temple. And it had been David's dream that he would have a chance to build this magnificent building, the temple of God, so the Ark of the Covenant would be in a beautiful and a well-deserved setting. But God would not let David build his dream temple. And that's because God said, David, your reputation is that of a warrior. David, your reputation is that of a warrior of much bloodshed. And God said, David, I do not think that I'll have you build your dream temple because of your reputation of being a warrior. But what I will do, David, is I will allow the temple that you desire to be built by someone in your family. I'll make sure that it's kept within your family and the dream is within your family. And here in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, we hear Solomon preaching a sermon. Who is Solomon? That's David's son. What's the setting for 2 Chronicles chapter 6? That temple that was the dream of David's to build, which he would not be allowed to build, though it had been promised that it would be built within his family, has now been built. David's son Solomon, he was the engineer, if you will, and he was a part of it. And Solomon had led the people to build the temple that David, his dad, had dreamed of. Solomon, in the passage of Scripture that you read just a moment ago, he's virtually preaching a message at the time of the completion of this temple. He says in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse number 10, he said, "The Lord therefore hath performed his word that he has spoken." That's a wonderful statement. As I read that statement, it grasped my thinking. It says, the Lord therefore hath performed this word or his word that he has spoken. Let me ask you a question this morning. How would you like the word of God to perform in your life? Perform in your life. I'm talking about how would you like the word of God to kick into high gear in your life? How would you like the word of God like a high performance vitamin to get into your spiritual body, to energize you beyond what you seem to be able to accomplish without it? How would you like increased performance of God's Word? Increased performance of God's Word in your mind. Increase performance of God's Word in your heart. Increase performance of God's Word in your body. Increase performance of God's Word in your life. I want you to take note of the word God chose to put in Solomon's mouth. God said, Solomon, I have performed my word. Boy, I got to thinking about that word, perform. I'll tell you something that I need in my life. I need to see the Word of God perform in my life. I need that high performance. Hey, I need that high performance like a high performance engine of a car. You soup it up. You bore it out. You want to get all the horsepower out of that thing that you possibly can. Why? Because we run in a race. We've got to have some high performance in this world, because in this world it's heavy and there's heartache and there's pain. And I want the Word of God to perform in my life like a high performance engine on the racetrack of the drag strip. How would you like the Word of God to perform in your life? 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 12, it says, concerning this house which thou art in building, thou wilt walk in my statutes and execute my judgments and keep all my commandments to walk therein. Then will I perform my word with thee, which I spake unto David thy father. Here it is. There's that word perform again. It's used a second time. God promised, I can make my word perform in your life. Oh, what a wonderful thing. If we can figure out what it takes to get the Word of God performing in our life, finally, we can get some victory. Finally, we can overcome. Finally, we can experience God changing our lives. But we're going to have to figure this thing out. The Bible says in Ezekiel chapter 12, verse number 25, for I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. And shall be no more prolonged. For in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word and will perform it, saith the Lord God. The Bible talks here. The people in the day of Ezekiel said, it seems as if the performance of God's word in my life has been prolonged. It seems delayed. It seems put off. And there are people in this room, you say, Brother Owens, I need something. I'm desperate for something. I just barely hang on sometimes. Let me tell you what you need and what you long for. Let me tell you what will put you over the edge into the realm of victory and success. It is getting the Word of God to perform in your life. Psalm chapter 57, verse number 2, the Bible says, I will cry unto God Most High, and the God that performeth all things for me. You see, I'll tell you what, Brother Owens, what you've said, and that's enticing. What you've said, you've got my spiritual taste buds salivating. I would like to see the Word of God perform in my life. Oh, I long for it. I hear people that talk about the Word of God and its power and its ability, but I want to see it perform in my life. A woman came to my office. She sits in this auditorium today. She came in very sincere. She sat there across from me in the chair and said, for the ones I keep failing in my Christian life. And she said, I'm tired of it. I'm just tired of failing. She said, can you tell me something that will help me? And I said, well, you need to read your Bible. And she said, okay, fine. She said, but please, can't you tell me something else about reading my Bible? I've heard that over and over again. Read my Bible. She said, but is there not more to the reading of the Bible than just you telling me, read your Bible? Tell me something more. I want something to happen in my life. All right, I'll read the Bible. Can you tell me more? I said, yes. I think I can. She said, I'm tired of being backslidden. I'm tired of dabbling with this thing of read your Bible. Tell me more. What can you do to help me? And so, in that appointment, I taught her the lesson that I'm about to teach you. Oh, I'm very sorry. If you came this morning looking for theology that is profound, you probably won't get that. But you will get this morning theology that will change your life If you will listen as I teach a lesson I've entitled, How to Get the Word of God to Perform in Your Life. More than just read it. I mean, we hear that all the time. Read your Bible, okay? That's easy to say. And as a pastor, that's easy for me to say. But let me see if I can help you with that thought of read it, and we'll take it a step further. And I'll see if I can help you to see how it is that Solomon said, God hath performed His Word in my life. But you listen. If you want God's Word to perform in your life, you'll need to listen and do what's taught today. Now, if you won't do what's taught, you will not see the high performance of the Word of God in your life. But if you will do it, I promise you, you can see performance in your Christian life. Let me say, number one, the first step is to read with your eyes the Word of God if you want Him to perform in your life. Read it with your eyes. You say, that's simple. I realize that. But you just stay with me now. This is where it starts. The first step, if you want God to perform in your life, you need to read the Word of God using your eyes. Revelation chapter 1, verse number 3, the Bible says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. The Bible very specifically says, we've got to read this book. You've got to read that book. You've got to see it with your eyes. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 13, it says, shall I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Hey, God's Word indeed is powerful. And if you would like the Word of God to perform in your life, you're going to need to read the Word of God. It is the answer. You say, it's the answer to what? It's the answer to whatever you need an answer to. It is the answer. This book is the answer book. But you have to understand something. You're to read it with your eyes. You're to see the words with your eyes. Your eyes work like a camera. Your eyes take photos of what you see. Your mind then develops the negative. You need to fill the photo album of your mind with pictures of God's words. Say, I want the Word of God to perform in my life. Then you take the cameras called your eyes and you snap shots of the Word of God and you get those negatives and you get that all developed in your mind and you will begin to see the Word of God performing in your life. You need to fill the photo album of your mind with pictures of God's words. You see the Word of God. You read it with your eyes. You let it affect your eyeballs. You let it affect your pupils and your retina and your lashes and your eyelids and your tear ducts. Hey, you get the Word of God in your eyes. You look at it and you read it. Read your Bible. Pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow. And you'll grow. And you'll grow. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow. Read your Bible, Christian. Because if you don't, and you forget, you'll shrink, forget to read and forget to pray. Forget to read and forget to pray, and you'll shrink. Sitting down in the back there, folks. I don't need people walking in and out. Getting a seat. Forget to read and forget to pray, and you'll shrink. And you'll shrink. And you'll shrink. Forget to read and forget to pray, and you'll shrink. Bones, why am I struggling in my Christian life? You're not in the Word of God enough. Read your Bible. If you want the Word of God to perform in your life, you need to see it with your eyes. Take the camera of your eyes and take snapshots on a daily basis of the words of God. And those words will begin to perform in your life. If you're away from God, I'll guarantee you, you're away from His Word. And today we have lazy minds. We want someone to entertain us. We don't want to read. You're never going to be a spiritual leader until you're a spiritual reader. You're never going to rise up and do what you could do for God until you will get the simple task of reading your Bible every day of your life. You've got to do that. You've got to do that if you're going to stay spiritual. Read it. Read it. Why? Because if you will read it, it is the first step of having it performed in your life. Then secondly, say it. The second step to get God's Word to perform in your life is you need to say it while you read it. 2 Samuel 23, verse number 2, the Bible says, "The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and His Word was in my tongue." Read it. I say you get your Bible out every day of your life and you read it with your eyes, and then I would recommend that you read it out loud. Say it. Read it to yourself. Let your mouth say what your eyes see. You want the Word of God to perform in your life? Hey, are you tired of being a half-in, half-out Christian? Now, some of you are not. I will preach this sermon. It will revolutionize somebody's walk with God. You will continue in your lack, half-in, half-out, half-committed kind of Christianity. That'll be your problem, and that'll be your fault. But if you say, "For the Lord, I'm really tired of not being a committed, dedicated, sold-out Christian. I want to do something about it," then I'll tell you what you do. Read your Bible with your eyes every day, and you begin to read it out loud. Say it. Let the Word of God be in your tongue. You see, let your mouth say what your eyes have seen. Your mouth is like a PA system. Let it increase the volume of the influence of God's Word in your life. Let God's Word be turned up and the volume high. Let your mouth say the Word of God. Speaking out loud, the Word of God will help it to perform in your life. You need to say the Word of God. You need to speak the Word of God. The more ways His Word is allowed to affect you, the more it will perform in your life. Say it and let your lips be affected. Say it. Let your mouth be affected. Say it. Let your vocal cords be affected. Say it. Let your throat be affected. Say it. Let your taste buds be affected. Say it. Let your tonsils be affected. Say it. Let your teeth be affected. Hey, if you want the Word of God to perform in your life, you need to see it with your eyes. You need to say it with your lips. This is a powerful book. It keeps all of its promises. You say, "I don't feel like God is fulfilling His promises to me." Well, it's not God's fault then. Because our God is a fair God and a just God. Our God always delivers the goods, and it's fresh and powerful. If you'd like to see the Word of God perform in your life, you need to see it with your eyes. You need to say it with your lips. And then thirdly, the third step is to hear it as you say it while you read it with your eyes. Luke 11:28, it says, "But He said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the Word of God and keep it." Notice the word "blessed" there. The Bible says, "Blessed are they that hear it." Of course, as your eyes see it and your mouth says it, your ears are going to hear it. But if you would like the Word of God to perform in your life, then I am recommending you follow these various steps. See it with your eyes. Speak it with your mouth. Hear it with your ears. Let your ears in on the blessing of God's Word. To our deaf friends that could not hear what they say, I think they ought to say it anyway, because God can speak to the ears that are attached to your heart. But let your ears in on the blessing of God's Word. Hey, you need to say the Word of God. And as you do, you're going to hear the Word of God. Let it affect your eardrums. Let it affect your earlobes and the inner ear and the external ear and the middle ear and the auditory nerve and the other 12 parts of the ear. God said, I want you to hear my word, and by hearing my word, it will better enable me to perform in your life. Your ears are like a recording studio. Your ears take in sounds. They send the sounds to the recorder of your brain, and your brain can actually produce a CD or a recording of what you hear. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The reason why some of you, your faith is so weak, is you are not hearing enough of the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing, 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 and hearing by the word of God. You need to read it with your eyes. You then need to speak it with your lips. Then your ears are going to hear it. And what will happen? Your faith will be strengthened. Your faith is weak because you're not hearing enough of the word of God. Program your ears with His Word. Let His Word perform in your life. How? By hearing the Word of God. Some of you need to learn to protect your ears. Why? Hey, your ears, that's the front door of your mind. Watch out now. Watch out now. You better be careful what you put in your ears. Maybe you need to get the Scripture on CD or on cassette tape. And you need to listen to it, and listen to it, and listen to it, and listen to it, and listen to it. And you need to set up in church and listen to what the preacher's saying, and pay attention. You need to listen to it, and listen to it, and listen to it. And you say, but Brother Lewis, I come to church on there Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And that's the only way you'll hear everything that God offers you around here, is to be in church. You say, I'm in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. I'm still struggling. Wake up every day of your life. Read that book with your eyes. Speak that book with your tongue. And let your ears hear you read God's Word. If you want it to perform in your life. You want it to perform? Do you want God to perform in your life? You see, I'm tired of everybody else having the stories of the blessing of God in their life. I'm tired of hearing others exalt God and talk about what a marvelous God and what a wonderful thing God does. I want to be a part of it. If you want God's Word to perform in your life like you've heard of Him performing in other people's lives, you better read that book. You better speak that book. You better hear that book. That's the key. Doesn't matter to me if you're a young Christian today or an old Christian. Doesn't matter to me if you're right with God or if you're wrong with God. It does not matter to me if you're a teenager or an adult. It does not matter to me. I'm telling you what this group of people need is we need God's Word. We need it to perform in our lives. Fourthly, I'll recommend something to you that'll make a difference in your life if you'll let it. I say to you, see it and read it with your eyes. Say it with your mouth and your lips. Hear it with your ears. For some of you, you need to take the time to just write it. Write it. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse number 9, it says, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. It's talking about posting King James Bible verses in your house. I wouldn't post any that were not true, the true Word of God. But posting verses. It's talking about the decor of your home. Post it in your home. But it's talking about writing it. The Bible says in Proverbs 3:3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the tables of thy heart. God is talking about the writing of the Word of God. You know, we're not real smart sometimes. If I ask everybody in this building that graduated from high school to raise your hand, The master of this crowd would raise their hand. A bunch are in the process of graduating from high school. I would say to you, tell me, what is one of the essentials to learning what you're supposed to learn? Well, you say, well, there's arithmetic and reading and writing. Writing, reading, and arithmetic. Huh. So a long time ago, you knew that writing had something to do with learning. I would recommend that you take what you were taught in kindergarten But if you want to learn something, you need to write it, and you need to start writing some of the Scripture. What's wrong? Hey, you really want this book to change your life? Then get serious about it. You get serious about it. You read it with your eyes. You speak it out loud with your lips. You program it into your ears. You take out a pen and you write the Scripture. You write it. You write it. The Bible says that, it says here, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. If you don't want truth to forsake you, it says you better write it somewhere. Write it. Write it where? Write it on your heart. Write it in your mind. Writing exercises your motor nerves. What are we doing? Just getting the Word of God involved a little more in your life. If you see it with your eyes, you're taking snapshots of it, you're speaking it with your lips, you're listening to it with your ears, you're writing it with your hands. I've got a hunch that's how you learn how to write and spell and everything else in this life. I think we just need to apply it to our scriptural, biblical learning as well. Let the words affect your hands. The palm of your hands and the fingers of your hands and the wrists and the thumbs. Write the Word of God. When Mrs. Owens and I were dating, I remember I went to her house one day to visit. By their telephone, they had a little, almost like a school desk, and on that desk there was a big pad of paper where, of course, you sit down, answer the phone, and there's a pen there, and you can write out a message to someone or for someone. I went to visit one evening. So I was there and I sat down at that telephone to make a call, and I noticed on that pad of paper she had written over and over again. Now, we were not married yet. We were engaged to be married. But she had written, now her maiden name is Ludeke. That's a German name. She's a Kraut. But she's a sweet kraut, not a sour kraut. Now some of you, though, you're a sour kraut. I sat down at that little table there, and I had noticed she had written over and over again, Sherry Tracy Owens. Sherry Tracy Owens. Now, ladies, how many of you ever remember just writing your new name or your name-to-be over and over and over again? Down. Sherry Tracy Owens. Sherry Tracy Owens. Sherry Tracy Owens. Sherry Tracy Owens. God knows. I wish she wouldn't have learned to write that, because that's what she does on my checks now. She wrote it, and she wrote it, and she wrote it, and she wrote it. You know what it was saying in her heart? It was coming out her hand and writing, Sherry Tracy Owens said, I love that man. I love that man. The man whose last name I'm about to take on, I love that man. And that's why she wrote it and she wrote it and she wrote it. I'll give some of you some good spiritual advice. Why don't you take the Word of God and write it and write it and write it and write it? You say, what will be the purpose? It's a good way to say, I love that God. I love that God. I love that God. I love His Word. I want it to change my life. I'm a part of Him. I want to be a part of Him. Hey, when she married me, it changed her entire life. She became a part of me. She was in my family, and there's some of you. It's time for you to stop being an outsider with God and read the Word of God with your eyes. Speak it with your lips. Hear it with your ears. Write it with your hands. And it will overtake your sinful life and clean you up. That is, if you'd like to be cleaned up. Indeed, the young lady that sat in my office who sincerely said, but preacher, I need more than just to hear you say, read it. This is the lesson that I taught her. Look at your weakness, Christian. Look at it. Look at your weakness right square in the eyeballs. You read scriptures about your weakness. You read it with your eyes. You read it out loud with your lips to yourself. You read it to your ears. And then you take that very scripture that refutes your weakness and you write it. And then you write it again. 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 And you write it again and write it again and write it again and write it again until you start living it. I remember one day I was in class. I must have been about a fourth grade boy. And The school where I went, you were not supposed to blow spitballs. How's anything in the Bible against that? You went to lunch, you get you a straw. If you're smart, you save the straw paper. Because the straw paper makes great spitballs. Then you go to class. You load the gun, and you... I was pretty good with the spitball, or my straw. I could throw spitballs pretty good. But then I got caught. I had the privilege of exercising my writing abilities through recess. I was asked to go to the chalkboard, which was an honorary position except for everybody else was outside at recess. And my teacher said, "Jeff, all the way through recess, you are to write these words. I will not blow spitballs. 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 I will not blow spitballs." Do you know something? To this day, I still don't blow spitballs. My teacher was smart enough to say, "Young man, you have a weakness. And I'll teach you how to overcome your weakness. We use the motor nerves of my writing." You really? You want to get over your bitterness? You want to get over your jealousy? You want to get over your hatred? Do you really? And you take a scripture from God's holy book. You sit down. You read it with your eyes. You say it with your lips. You hear it with your ears. And you write it over and over and over and over again. And all of a sudden, the power of God through the Word of God will overtake your sin. If you mean it. I mean, you need to change the kind of music you listen to. You don't want to overcome it, because if you did, you'd do exactly what I'm teaching you right now. Then, this step, I said, read it with your eyes. I said, speak it with your lips. I said, hear it with your ears. I said, write it with your hand. Now I say to you, repeat it. Repeat it. Repeat it. Repeat it. Repetition is the key to learning. Repetition is the key to teaching. Great teachers are people who are willing to repeat great truths. How often? As many times as it takes. Great teachers are people who are not afraid to be repetitive, thinking that somebody else might think they're shallow. Hey, and great learners are people who are willing to repeat to themselves what they know they need to learn. I love it. Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see. Hey, I want to hear Jesus sung about over and over and over and over and over again. Repeat it. And repeat it. And repeat it. And repeat it. And repeat it. There are some of you, there are some verses in that book that you need to memorize, and you ought to repeat over and over and over and over again to yourself. If you'll do what I've taught you, somebody's going to overcome something. Do you know how to keep a blonde busy? Take a 3x5 card, write on one side of the card, "Turn me over." Write on the other side, "Repeat." You'll keep her busy for hours. Repeat it. Step number 6. If you will see it with your eyes, if you will speak it with your lips, you then hear it with your ears, you write it with your hand, you repeat the process, and then you will remember it. You will remember it. Psalm 119:11 says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." The first 5 steps will cause you to memorize the word of God. You say, "Brother Owens, I want to overcome the wrong, the sin. I want to overcome the things in my life. I want victory in my life." The Bible says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." What are you going to do? You need to see it with your eyes, read it with your lips, hear it with your ears, write it with your hand. Hey, repeat it, repeat it, repeat it. it, you'll memorize it. And God said, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. It's the key to memorization. Brand it on your mind. Like you have filth branded in your mind. You say, brother Owens, I've got a picture in my mind. It is evil and it keeps popping back up. And I'll tell you how you got that picture. You looked at it, and you looked at it again, and you looked at it again, and you looked at it again, and you looked at it again. That's why it is so vivid. Replace it with the Word of God. If you mean it, if you mean it, your mind is like a computer. You're going to have to program it. You put garbage in to the computer of your mind, you'll call garbage up on the screen. You put goodness in, goodness will come up on the screen of the computer of your mind. 1 John 2:14, it says, I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you. And ye have overcome the wicked one. How do you overcome the wicked one? When the word of God abides in you. What does abide mean? It stays there. It lives within you. So how am I going to overcome the wicked one? I've got to get the word of God in me as permanent as I can. And that's what you need to do. It's time for some of you to start memorizing some scripture. What some of you want me to do is you want me to be a psychologist. You want to come see Brother Owens and hope he's got some psychology to solve your problem. Best psychology book in the world is that old black book right there. It is the God of the universe that created your mind. It is the God of the universe that created your ears and your hands and your feet and your body. And if you do what he said, he would change your life. We don't want that, do we? We don't really trust him like that. You need to read it, repeat it, memorize it. Hey, like an actor in a play, if you want God's word to perform in your life, you need to memorize the script. Do you really want the word of God to perform in your life? Really? Then what I'm telling you will work. Then what do? Live it. Luke 4:4 says, and Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If you want God to perform in your life, then you need to perform God's word. You say, I want God to perform in my life, and perform his word. Do it. Live it. Obey it. We sing, trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. I hate to break this to you folks. There is no shortcut to being a good Christian but obeying and being a good Christian. No shortcut. No shortcut. You're going to do it God's way. What's God's way? Live God's word. That's it. You're not a good Christian if you don't live by God's word. Period. We need to live it. So what's happening in here? What's taking place? If you want God's word to perform in your life, if you want to see the performance of the God of the universe in your life, then you're going to have to read it with your eyes. You're going to have to say it with your lips. You're going to have to hear it with your ears. You're going to have to write it with your hand. You're going to have to repeat it with your mind. And then you're going to have to memorize it. Then you need to start living it. Live it. Live the word of God. Living it comes easier if you'll do those other steps. Living it comes easier when you read it and say it and you've heard it and you've written it and you repeated it and you memorize it. I love it. Our choir sings a song, God's Word Changes Lives. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. God's Word changes lives. The problem is there are some lives that really don't want changed. You say to me, Brother Owens, I want my life changed. And if you mean that, I am giving you the very steps, and these are miraculous steps from the Word of God to revolutionize your life. You can be a good Christian. You can be. You can do it. You just do it simple. I don't think I can make it any simpler. Profound? No, I'm sorry. I apologize to you. We've not gone down deep, but we dead sure aren't coming up dry. Our choir sings, God's Word changes lives. You need to live it. It won't change a life that doesn't want to be changed. Live it at church. Live it at work. Live it at home. Step number 8, and I'm almost finished. The eighth step is to teach it as you live it. Teach it. Teach the Word of God. Teach it as you live it, as you've remembered it, as you've repeated it, as you've written it, as you've heard it, as you've said it, as you see it, if you'll teach it. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 2, the Bible says, "And these things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." You need to teach what you're learning. Share God's truth and performance in your life. Teach it. Tell somebody about it. It is a proven fact that you learn more by teaching than by being taught. Anybody that's a real teacher will tell you that. You learn more by teaching than by being taught. Because teaching requires understanding. Teaching is within itself learning. A true teacher is always learning. Never a finished product. I graduated from college a handful of times. Half a dozen times. I graduated with honors, I think virtually every time. Let me tell you one of the keys to graduating high in your class. Here's what I'd do. I'd go to class during the day. I would take what I was being taught. I'd write it all down. Then I'd read it. I'd read my notes. And listen to me, some of you flunkies in school. Listen to what Brother Owens is saying now. You really want to pass? You listen to what I tell you right now. I'd take notes in school. I'd then take my notes and I'd read them with my eyes. I'd say them with my lips. I'd hear them with my ears. I'd write it over and over and over and over again. Then I'd repeat it. Then I'd have it memorized. Then I decided I would begin to live what I was being taught. Then, while I was in college, every day, I'd go to work. I'd won a bunch of people to Christ at work. I was a grown adult man, worked in a machine shop. I'd go to work, and when I'd sit down at my lunch break, Brother English, a bunch of young converts would come and gather around me, and I'd teach them what I'd learned that day in my own class. A teacher had taught me. I had to prepare for the evening lesson. What lesson? A bunch of new converts so I could teach them the truth that I'd learned earlier in the day. When test time rolled around, I'd seen it. I'd spoke it. I'd heard it. I'd written it. I'd repeated it. I'd memorized it. I'd lived it. I'd taught it. And guess what? Wasn't hard to get an A. Wasn't hard. You want to get an A in your Christian life? She said to me, "Brother Owens, please, don't just say to me, read it." And I sat there as the Spirit of God began to work in my heart and my mind, and I said, "If you'll do this, the Word of God will perform in your life." Take what you learn at church. Teach it to your friends. Go to work tomorrow. At lunch. Now, I don't think you ought to do it on the boss's time. I think that's criminal. But go sit down with your friends. Teach what you learned. My friends don't want to hear it. Change friends then. Take what you learn in your Bible reading and teach it to somebody. Take what you learn in Young Fundamentalists and share it with some teenager. Take what you learn in King's Kids and share it with somebody. Call a friend instead of gossiping about what you don't like about Brother Owen. Hey, call and tell them about the truth of the Word of God that's preached around here. It may change your life. It may shut up your gossiping face. That will be a big task. But it's doable. I mean, God opened the Red Sea. He can shut your mouth. Then what will happen? Oh, that's simple. Then God will perform in your life. Acts 19:20, it says, "So mightily grew the Word of God and prevailed." Will the Word of God prevail in your life? You do what I taught you. You want to see the Word of God being mighty in your life? This is a mighty book. The problem is you don't let the mighty book do its mighty work. It will mightily grow. The influence of God will become mighty in your life. It'll be a mighty performance. His work, hey, if you'll do what I told you, it will expedite. That means make it quicker, His work in your life. Listen to this. Psalm 147, verse 15, it says, He sendeth forth His commandment upon the earth. His word runneth very swiftly. The word of God will work more swiftly in your life if you'll do what I've taught you today. Some of you, it's going to take you forever to get out of diapers in your Christianity. You're still wearing diapers. If you do what I taught you, you could get out of your diapers. Time for some of you to get out of your training pants. Step up. Become productive for God. Do something great with your life. See God work in your life. It's all about the Word of God. God's Word can do big things. You got to let it. God's Word can do whatever God needs it to do, but you got to let it. And if you won't limit God, He won't limit you. And what you do with this book determines what God will and can do with you. She said, Brother Owens, please, I'm miserable. I'm tired of failing. I'm tired of not succeeding as a Christian. She said, I've heard it all my life. Read your Bible. She said, can't you please tell me something a little more? And because I did want to tell her something more. I didn't want her to suffer at merely hearing about the performance of God's Word in somebody else's life, but I wanted her to experience it in hers. And I said, read it with your eyes. I said, say it with your lips. I said, hear it with your ears. Write it with your hand. Then repeat that. Then you'll remember it with your mind. Then live it in your life. And then teach it. And then God will perform it for you and in you. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, He can perform a wonderful miracle for you today. The Bible teaches everybody's a sinner. The Bible teaches there is a penalty for your sin, and that is death and hell, separated from God for all eternity. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ died for you, was buried for you, and was resurrected for you. The Bible says that for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, meaning if you realize you're a sinner, and that sinners die and go to hell, but Jesus made it so sinners don't have to go to hell, and if you'll turn to Him and say, Lord, I can't save myself. I need a Savior. Dear Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Savior. Forgive me of my sin. Take me to heaven when I die. God will perform a miracle. You who are on your way to hell will suddenly, like that, be on your way to heaven. Not because of you, but because of the performance of Jesus Christ, the Savior. The Savior. How would you like to have God perform in your life? If you're a Christian, I told you how to do it today. If you're lost, I told you He needs to perform salvation in your life. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.